Mesech Pesachim per exam, Mishnah Yudin to per exam, Mishnah Gimel. The halach is that if a korban is left uneaten past the time limit within which it needs to be eaten, then it becomes nisar and it needs to be burnt. Now the korban Pesach needs to be eaten by midnight on the first night of Pesach. Past midnight, then it becomes nisar and it needs to be burnt. However, the halacha of nisar only applies to the edible parts of the korban, which could have been eaten. So since it could have been eaten and now it was left past that time, so it needs to be burnt as per the laws of Nisar. So for example, when it comes to the bones which are inedible, strictly speaking, the halachas of Nisar do not apply to the bones. However, since within the bones there is marrow, there is part of the bone which is edible, so technically speaking, that can be eaten, and so the halachas of Nisar will apply to it. Now the truth is, this is going to apply to every single Korban Pesach, because there is a unique halacha that the bones of a Korban Pesach are not allowed to be broken. Now, in order to access the marrow of the bones, they need to be broken. So it follows that after every single Korban Pesach, there is always going to remain the marrow. So the bones of the Korban Pesach need to be burnt together with the marrow to make sure that the marrow is all burnt. So every single Korban Pesach, its bones need to be burnt because the marrow of the bones becomes nisar. The Hagidin, the sinews of the korban, and the Gemara explains that we are referring to the Gid HaNosheh, and with the Oraisa it is forbidden to eat the meat of a Gid HaNosheh. It's a particular sinew in the body by the thigh, and there are really two different sinews which are there by the thigh, and the one which is nearer to the thigh, it is forbidden with the Oraisa to eat that. And Midrabbanan, it's forbidden to eat the sinew which is next to that as well. So the Mishnah is referring to that outer sinew which is forbidden Midrabbanan. And the point of the Mishnah is to tell us that even though it is forbidden midrabbanan, so I might think that nisar does not apply to it, because you were never able to eat it in the first place. Nevertheless, since midoraisa it is permitted to eat it, so on a midoraisa Torah level, it is considered to be fitting for eating, and so nisar would apply to it. And says the Mishnah of v'ha nisar, and regular nisar meaning any of the meat of the Korban Pesach which is left over, all of these things, yisar for b'shusha asar, they should be burnt on the 16th of Nisan, the day after the Yom Tov of Pesach. They can't be burnt on Pesach itself, on the Yom Tov of Pesach itself, because it's forbidden to burn things not for the sake of food, not for the sake of eating on Yom Tov. So you need to wait until the day after Yom Tov in order to burn it. Now the truth is, although it is in general forbidden to burn things not for the sake of eating on Yom Tov, a question arises over here, because there is a general principle known as Asei Doiche Loisa Asei, a positive mitzvah to do something overrides a negative mitzvah not to do something. So in this case, you've got a mitzvah to burn the nisar, and you've got a prohibition to burn things on Yom Tov. So why don't we say Asei Doiche Loisa Asei, and it will be permitted to burn it on the Yom Tov, the first day of Pesach? So the answer is, it's learnt from Pesukim that there are certain situations where one waits another day until the next morning to burn it. The Torah says the word Ad Boker, until the morning, it says it twice. So we learn from there that there are certain times where you wait two mornings, so you wait a whole another day before burning the nisar. Now what happens if Chol Shishah Asar is b'Shabbos? If the 16th day of Nisan, so the day after the first day of Yom Tov, the first day of Pesach, if that falls on Shabbos, so you can't burn it on Shabbos either, so Yisar b'Shiva Asar, it should be burnt on the 17th of Nisan. As the Gemara explains, if you should end the Dorchen Lois Shabbos Lois Yom Tov, because the mitzvah of burning nisar does not override the prohibition of burning things and performing melacha and work on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Mishnah Aleph, when forming groups for a Korban Pesach, one needs to calculate and make sure that there's going to be enough meat in the Korban Pesach for each member of the group to be able to eat a kazayas of the Korban Pesach. As well as that, parts of the Korban Pesach cannot be counted in terms of making up this amount. Only edible parts of the korban are counted, and as well as that, only parts of the animal where when the animal will grow up to be an adult, if it were to grow up, those parts would still be edible. Only those parts can be counted in terms of calculating how much meat there is for the group. As the Mishnah explains, Klanechel b'shar agodol, any part of an animal which is eaten of a large ox, which has grown fully, and the meat has become harder, so parts of it has become too hard to eat. The point is that any part of the adult ox, which is eaten, ye'ochel b'gdi harach, that needs to be eaten of the soft meat of the goat. Which goat exactly are we referring to? We're referring to the Korban Pesach, which was either a goat or a sheep. And the point is that even though right now, since the Korban Pesach has to be less than a year old, so parts of the body of the animal, parts of the meat are much softer than they would be in the future had it grown up to be bigger. But those parts which would have become inedible, because they would be too hard to eat in the future, so even now, those are not considered to be part of the Korban Pesach which is eaten, and so it is not counted as part of the meat when calculating how many people can be part of the group for that Korban Pesach. Now the Mishnah gives now two examples of parts of the ox which would be eaten, and those are Rosh Chanafayim, shoulder blades, Vasechuchim, and the cartilage of the animal, such as the cartilage of the ear. And the point of the Mishnah is to tell us that even though these parts of the animal are very hard when it comes to an ox which is fully grown, and it only really becomes edible if you cook it a lot, much more than most meat, nevertheless, since it is able to be eaten, so that is calculated as part of the edible parts of the Korban Pesach. Now we've learned previously that it is forbidden to break a bone of the Korban Pesach, and the punishment for doing so, as long as one is warned not to, and there are two witnesses who see him do it, just like most prohibitions which involve an action, the punishment is Malchus being lashed. So the Mishnah tells us, HaLeshoves HaEtzem, one who breaks a bone by Pesach HaTohar, of a Tohar Korban Pesach, he receives 40 lashes as a punishment. The truth is, it's actually 39 Malchus, 39 lashes, although the Torah does say 40. It is learned from the Pasuk over there that it actually means 39 lashes. However, says the Mishnah, Aval HaMeiser Batohar, one who leaves over meat of a pure Korban Pesach, so he allows the meat to become Neisar, even though that's also a prohibition, we're going to see that he does not receive lashes. And there are two reasons for this. One is because it doesn't actually involve a action. Rather, the Aveira is not doing something. It's not eating it. It's allowing it to stay there. You're totally passive. And for Aveiras like that, there is no punishment of Malchus. A second reason why there is no punishment of Malchus is because this is known as a Lav Hanitik La'aseh, a prohibition which can be fixed by a mitzvah. When the Torah says, don't do something, and if you do that, then you should do this. So the implication is that the Torah is saying that if you do that, instead of receiving the regular punishment of Malchus, do this instead to fix it. And so when it comes to Neisar, the Torah says, don't leave any of the meat past midnight of the first night of Pesach. And if you do, then you need to burn it. So that is a Lav Hanitik La'aseh, for which the punishment of Malchus does not apply. And as well as that, V'hashever Batomei, one who breaks a bone of a Tomei Korban Pesach, and there are those who explain this to be even if the Korban Pesach was allowed to be brought in a state of Tumah. For example, if the majority of the Jews were Tomei, so it's considered a valid Korban Pesach. But nevertheless, if it is Tomei in a Lokes or Arboim, he does not receive 39 lashes, literally 40, but as we explained, it's 39. And this is learnt from the Pasuk, which says, V'etzem le'sish berubay, and you should not break a bone on it, referring specifically to it, to the regular Korban Pesach, to a Tohar Korban Pesach, so that prohibition does not necessarily apply to an irregular Tomei Korban Pesach. Mishnah Beis, the halach is that if part of the Korban Pesach is taken outside of the place in which it needs to be eaten, then it becomes invalid and it is forbidden to eat that part of the Korban Pesach. Now we've seen already a number of times that the Korban Pesach needs to be eaten within Yerushalayim. So certainly if the Korban Pesach leaves Yerushalayim from the moment that it is slaughtered until midnight of the first night of Pesach, if it leaves Yerushalayim, certainly it becomes invalid and it is forbidden to eat that part. But as well as that, when it comes to the actual night of Pesach, one is obligated to eat the Korban Pesach together with his chabura, with his group of people who are sharing that Korban Pesach. And if he takes any of the meat away from the group, it is also considered to have been taken out of the place in which it needs to be eaten, and it is forbidden to eat that part of the Korban Pesach. Now what happens if Eiver Sheyotzo Miktsosei, if part of a limb of the Korban Pesach was taken outside of its place? So part of it is now invalid, part of it is valid. And the part which is still valid, it's an obligation to eat it, because you can't just allow it to be left and become Nisar. However, there is a problem, because as we have seen, there's a prohibition to cut a bone of the Korban Pesach. So you can't just cut it where the boundary is, cut it at the point where the part of it went out, because then you would be breaking a bone. So what should you do? Says the Mishnah Chesich, you should cut the meat until you reach the bone. So cut all around the bone, but without cutting the bone itself. And then the koleif, peel back the meat, the part of the meat which is still inside of the place in which it needs to be eaten. So you should peel that part of the valid meat and shemagia la perek until you reach a joint between two bones. V'chosech, and then cut it at the joint. It's permitted to cut the joints of a Korban Pesach. It's only forbidden to cut the bones. So that way you've peeled back the meat which you can eat, and you can actually eat that now, whereas the entire bone and the half of the meat which became invalid, that would need to be burnt, just like every other korban which becomes invalid. But when it comes to all other korbanos, if they leave the place in which they need to be eaten, so when it comes to kodshei kodshim, which refers to korbanos which have a very high level of sanctity and holiness, and which need to be eaten within the Beis HaMikdash itself, so if they leave the Beis HaMikdash, or even if they leave the Beis HaMikdash's courtyard, then they would need to be burnt. And when it comes to kodshim kalim, which refers to korbanos with a lower level of holiness and sanctity, so they need to be burnt, they need to be eaten within Yerushalayim. The point being that if half of a limb of any of those korbanos leaves its place, so in that case, you've got an easy solution. Kotzitz v'kofitz. You can just cut it with a very large meat knife at the point in which it left the place where it needs to be eaten. Because the prohibition of breaking a bone does not apply to other korbanos. Now, what exactly is considered to be the boundary of, for example, Yerushalayim or the Beis HaMikdash? So the Mishnah explains, min ha'agaf v'lifnim, from the agaf inwards, k'lifnim is judged as being inside of the place in which it needs to be eaten, be it the Beis HaMikdash, be it Yerushalayim. Now, what exactly is the agaf? So the agaf refers to the part of a door where the actual door itself closes onto that bit. It's the bit which sort of stops the door. You close the door onto this part of the building. Or when it comes to Yerushalayim, the gates of Yerushalayim. So from there inwards, that is considered to be the boundary. But from that agaf outwards is considered to be like outside of Yerushalayim or outside of the Beis HaMikdash's courtyard. And the agaf itself, explains the Rambam, is considered to be like outside. And that is considered to be the boundary for all of the laws of korbanos leaving the place in which they need to be eaten. Hachalonos, windows. The windows in the walls of Yerushalayim, or in the walls of the Beis HaMikdash courtyard, v'ovi achoma, and the thickness of the wall itself. For example, if a korban is on top of the wall, let's say, kalifnim, that is judged as being inside of Yerushalayim or being inside of the Beis HaMikdash courtyard, such that the korban would still be valid in that case. Mishnah Yud Gimel, when it comes to the chabura, the group in which one needs to eat his korban Pesach, there are two different pesukim which imply two different things. On the one hand, the Torah says, "Al habotim asher yochlu oisei bohem," in the houses or in the groups in which they will eat it, implying that there are lots of groups or multiple houses and only a single korban Pesach, which implies that one korban Pesach can be shared between more than one group. But on the other hand, the Torah says, "Bebayis echad yochel," that it needs to be eaten in one house, implying that only one group can really partake in that Korban Pesach. So our Mishnah is of the opinion that the explanation of the two Psukim is that it is permitted to share one Korban Pesach between more than one group, but once that group has begun to eat in a particular place or as part of a group, then they have to stay together, and they cannot change where they're eating, they can't join a different group once they've started. Once they start eating as one group together, they have to finish eating it in that same house, together as a group. So begins the Mishnah. Shtei chavuros, if you have two groups, shoyo ochlus b'bayis echad, who are eating one Korban Pesach in one house. So they shared one animal for the Korban Pesach, and they are eating it in the same location. Says the Mishnah, elu hoifchen es pnei v'helach v'oichlin. These people who are part of this group are allowed to turn their faces in one direction and eat together. V'elu hoifchen es pnei v'helach v'oichlin. And the other people who are part of the other group can turn in another direction and eat together. The point being that even though they are sharing the same Korban Pesach, as we explained, as long as they start eating separately, it is permitted to have two different groups on one Korban Pesach. And on a similar note, v'hameichan ba'emtza, the large kettle of hot water, which they would use to dilute wine, so they can put this large kettle in between the two groups. Even though that sort of separates the two groups, as we explained, they are allowed to eat separately, as long as they start doing so at the beginning. Alright, and now the Mishnah goes to what the other Pasuk teaches us, and that is that once you start eating as two separate groups, then you have to stay within your group. So the Mishnah says, when the person serving them stands up to pour wine for both groups, so this server, this waiter, would be part of one group, but he was serving both groups, so he's forced to leave his group and go to the other group. So the Mishnah says that how does he need to behave? Kofetz as piv, he needs to close his mouth for as long as he is with the other group. Umachzer as ponov, and turn his face to face the group where he started eating. Ashmagia itzel chavrasa, until he reaches back to his own group. And then v'oichel, then he can eat only once he's part of his own group again. because otherwise it appears as if you might be eating with the other group as well. Now the Mishnah says a leniency now, and that is v'hakala, a bride, if after beginning to eat with one particular group, she feels uncomfortable to continue eating with them, perhaps because of her modesty, or because she's just shy, she's allowed to turn her face away and eat like that, even though it appears slightly as if she's eating by herself, and she is leaving the group. As long as she stays within the vicinity of her group, she's allowed to just turn away, even though in general we would forbid this. For a bride, it is permitted.